Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
After the apocalypse, a pandemic survival story, season 4, episode 20, Future Shock. Brent stopped a Humvee at the barrier. Not that he had a choice. He wasn't going to get through unless the defenders let him through. Janet was driving the second Humvee. She came to a stop with two or three vehicle lengths space between them. Habits die hard in the apocalypse, and she had learned to always leave enough room for escape. Don't get boxed in. The old man rode shotgun with her, and he could see them talking in the rearview mirror. Those two were like some old married couple, always bitching about something. He was glad they were in a separate vehicle. Bill the dog had his head out the window and was enjoying the ride. The wind pushed all his curly hair to one side of his head, making him look like a diva who had slept in her makeup and was now being rousted for a 5 a.m. curtain call. Brent looked the defenses over like a professor assessing a student's end-of-term project. Mag's team at the D.C. had recovered a dozen concrete traffic barriers, probably from some construction site, and created this hard point a few hundred yards from the D.C. entrance. The concrete barriers were arranged to stop any vehicle traffic, like the Dragon's Teeth anti-tank obstructions on the old Maginot Line. An impromptu guard check of dirt-filled barrels, sandbags, and corrugated metal stood behind and aside the obstructions. The single open lane was blocked by a large garbage truck. A woman with a rifle over her shoulder emerged from the guardhouse, while an associate with a radio covered everyone from behind the wall. Brent appreciated the practicality of the outlying guard position. It made sure no traffic got close to the main compound without scrutiny and gave early warning if trouble showed up. It funneled traffic into kill zones.
"You'd need tanks or artillery to get through this," he thought to himself while waiting to be approved by the guards.
He noted how the line of concrete barriers dovetailed seamlessly into the outer ring defensive wall. "Well thought out and well laid," he thought approvingly. Significant progress had been made since his last visit. Things were moving at a good pace. It was clear that Mags was betting on this place, working to make it defensible, impenetrable. To get this much progress in this short a time showed she had a good team as well. Her leadership had everyone pulling in the same direction. That, along with his expectation of seeing her again shortly, made him smile, despite his inner turmoil. After being vetted, one of the guards rolled the big truck out of the way. They were waved through the gate and into the distribution center complex. It had been a long day, and he could use some coffee, maybe a shower, But first, he needed to see Mags. It had been easier to escape from the ORNL Knoxville complex than he thought. Unlike Mags, the general had yet to set up any real perimeter defenses or security. He was too outwardly focused, not prioritizing his home front. He was worried about the external, like building offensive capabilities, training recruits, and strategizing with the new government's higher-ups. In fact, much to their surprise and relief, there had been only one real point of tension as he escorted the old man, Janet, and Bill out of detention to the vehicles and finally out of the ONRL complex. He talked his way through the one manned checkpoint. It could have gone badly, but he had been able to use his authority to bluff his way past, claiming urgent direct orders from the general. No one expected him to be a fifth columnist. As far as the guard knew, Brent was second in command. It had been the old man who suggested that they liberate the two heavily armed Humvees, and they did. "Might as well make the trip worthwhile," the old man had said. "Always bring a housewarming gift to a party." Boy, was that fire team going to be confused when they got up in the morning. They drove right out. No muss, no fuss. Sometimes things go your way, even in the apocalypse. Brent's head buzzed with mixed emotions. He had been like one of those cartoons where there is a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. He still wasn't sure who had won. Even now, he wasn't sure if he had made the right call. He had acted on instinct, and that had somehow overridden his duty to his commanding officer and the general's interpretation of the continuance of government protocols. This might be the end of him. He felt the old need to worry about ruining his career, but knew that there were no careers anymore, and that was an artifact of who he was. Before the world changed, habits die hard. It was impossible to shrug off 20 years of duty. It felt awful. He knew it was wrong, but he felt in his soul like the general was being unethical with the unilateral claim of martial law. He had never disobeyed an order from his commander. Never. But this felt right. This felt right in the same way that his tours of duty felt right. Even on the most intense days and the bloodiest of actions, he had a moral compass that told him his actions were for the true purpose. Driving away from the ORNL, he could sense in his core that something was wrong. He couldn't feel his commitment to the general's mission, that part of him that had always been there, been his true north, was gone. And now he was stuck in no man's land, trying to figure out if he was broken or simply changed. The world was broken. He was in unknown territory. He had no North Star. He felt a surge of something, something more than relief, something closer to joy when he entered the cafeteria and saw Mags standing in the middle of the room, smiling at him. They came together in an embrace and held onto each other for what seemed like a long time, but was probably only a matter of seconds. Brent felt her energy and warmth, and felt his tension and uncertainty draining into the long hug. Mags pulled back and looked at him with a soft smile. She looked good, not as haggard as before. There were worry lines around her empathetic eyes, but the dark circles and bruising were gone.
"It's good to see you,"
she said.
"It's good to see you, too."
Brent returned her warm gaze. He wanted to say,
"I missed you,"
but didn't know if that was the right thing. She asked,
"To what do we owe the pleasure?"
"I'm afraid it's not good news,"
Brent began, trying to find a way to start the conversation that would complicate their lives. Again, nothing was simple in the apocalypse.
"I had to liberate them."
He hooked a thumb over his shoulder towards the old man and Janet.
"From house arrest at the bunker."
He paused and reported as plainly as he could.
"The general plans on invoking martial law and taking over the D.C., and he expected me to be his facilitator."
Brent looked sad and deflated and finished, heavy with emotion.
"I couldn't do it."
"Well, that is an interesting turn of events,"
Mag said.
"And you had other ideas?"
she asked.
"I decided I'd rather help you,"
Brent said evenly. Mags didn't respond to this, so Brent continued.
"What the general is trying to do isn't right. There should be civilian control. He's using the continuance of government protocols as an excuse to set up his own little fiefdom and brush everyone else aside."
Mags began to ask a follow-up question, but was interrupted. Suddenly, it was like being at a family dinner where everyone was talking at once. Janet stepped forward to reinforce Brent's point.
"That's right. He's trying to eliminate checks and balances, bypass civil jurisdiction."
"And we bought you a present," the old man interrupted. Mags held up a hand.
"One at a time, people."
Brent picked up the thread.
"We commandeered 2 Humvees, recently outfitted with 50 cals and grenade launchers and ammo. I figured it would help in the balance of power, be a deterrence to any aggression."
"That will help,"
Mag said, and turned to one of her people with instructions to find Brad.
"We'll make good use of those. Maybe put them on the walls or create mobile mounts for interior lines of defense."
Mags became serious.
"Are we at war with the general, Brent?"
Brent tried to make it sound like less of a threat than he knew it probably was.
"He's probably gonna be a little pissed off. But I don't think there's any chance of a shooting war breaking out anytime soon. He's pedantic about rules and regulations, but he's not stupid. He's not going to attack a fortified position. He doesn't have the manpower."
"A cold war, then,"
Mags concluded.
"We'll have to make the best of it."
Brent had been ruminating on this for the whole drive to the D.C. The more he thought about it, the more he realized that he didn't know what the general was capable of and had very little information about the shadow government that was behind this push for control. He knew he could very well be gambling with Mag's life, with all their lives. The old man disengaged from the meeting, saying that he needed to get over to the campus to see Paul and update him on the situation as soon as possible. Things were moving quickly. When they were alone, Brent changed the subject.
"Looks like you've been making some good progress with your town here."
"Yes, we have,"
Mags agreed, taking him by the arm.
"Let me give you the grand tour."
And then, with a grin,
"Are you considering settling down?"
"Might have to now that I'm officially an enemy of the state."
"I'm sure we can find a good use for you,"
Mag said.
"I'm sure you can,"
Brent laughed.
"Let's get a good look at your medieval farming village." Laugh all you want, but we've got crops in the ground, animals in the barnyard, and we're growing with new survivors showing up every day. Success breeds success. It may not be the future you wanted or envisioned, but it is the future with people safe and working and growing as a community. Oh, Cincinnatus, enlighten me. Show me how you're beating swords into plowshares.
Oh, I didn't say we won't need swords.
And guns? We're still on the semi-wild frontier here. But we are citizen soldiers, and we're building something good.
And I'm putting all this at risk, Brent thought as he walked with Mags. With his desertion, he had knowingly sacrificed all, and he didn't know what the future would bring. Was Mags putting on a brave face for him? She should be terrified. Everything she has built here could be swept away by chaos tomorrow. It's all on the edge, hanging in the balance, and could easily tip into death and destruction. The whole place was a hair's breadth away from darkness. They walked the perimeter of the yard. Mags pointed out the completed defensive wall of shipping containers, stacked too high with a deep defensive ditch in front of them. Razor wire sheathed the edges of the containers, and sandbagged hard points dotted the crest. But inside of that menacing defensive wall, there were plowed furrows with the vivid green of young plants poking through the red soil. It was a hard contrast. The sharp edge of defense dividing these new farmers from the chaos outside. Is this how those first farmers in Anatolia lived 10,000 years ago? Grubbing at the soil for a chance at peace and plenty with the howling wolves stalking the perimeter of the fence. It was a harsh environment, but she was finding a way to grow. To grow not only plants and animals, but people and community. They continued their walking inspection. Small pastures with cows and goats and other barnyard denizens appeared, nested up against the walls. A tractor rumbled by with a bucket full of manure, sending an aromatic cloud of dust and organics in their direction. The sights, sounds, and smells all contributed to a picture of fertility and growth. They came upon Petey and Brittany working in a garden plot with a hoe and shovel, the baby gurgling in a bassinet under shade. The kids were wearing floppy sun hats and were red with perspiration in the summer heat.
"What are you working on?"
Brent asked. Petey leaned on his hoe and considered them. Brittany joined him and put an arm comfortably around his waist, answering for them both.
"We're getting the soil ready for some late-season cabbages."
"I don't even like cabbage,"
Petey added.
"You'll learn to like them if you know what's good for you."
Brittany poked him with a finger and pulled him in tighter with her encircling arm. Petey smiled and nuzzled the top of her head, then pushed her away lightly.
"Get off, you're all sweaty."
Brittany laughed and stepped to check on the baby. Petey said,
"We're going to get our own house and a real farm in the spring."
"That's right,"
Mags said in agreement.
"We're going to start expanding."
Mags said her goodbyes and offered encouragement.
"You two are doing a great job. Keep up the good work and take care of that baby. Let me know if you need anything."
They left the young family and continued walking. Brent could see they were settled and happy. He could almost smell their hope after months of desperate survival. What would the future hold for them? Brent could see two possible versions of their future. The first was a happy family on a small farm, thriving in the Tennessee dirt. But in a second, he saw that same farmstead being ravaged and burnt, their children enslaved and killed. He brooded darkly. This was on him. He had made a choice that could bring that retribution down on them all. He found himself feeling unmoored. He looked at Mags, and she smiled a worried smile, sensing his inner conflict.
"Listen to me,"
she said, fixing his eyes with hers. Brent felt like she was looking into his soul.
"You didn't do anything wrong. You made the right choice. The general was going to come for us whether you helped him out or not. Now, at least we have a chance to defend ourselves and negotiate from a position of strength."
She squeezed his hands and finished.
"Whatever happens, we'll handle it. Together."
Brent relaxed and said,
"It's really amazing what you've accomplished and what you're building here."
Mags smiled in recognition of the compliment and replied,
"We're not done. This is just the beginning. I told your general we don't need the government. Don't look at those kids. They've gone from scared trailer trash, hiding in the ruins, no better than cockroaches, to a family. A family that wouldn't be out of place in a Norman Rockwell painting."
She continued,
"All they needed was the opportunity and a safe place to flourish and grow. I'm going to keep building, not just for these kids, but for all the kids."
"But what if the general's right? What if there is some new government?"
"If that new government gets to the point where they can be trusted and provide what we're providing, who knows? Maybe we'll join them, but on our terms."
Brent darkened.
"What if they come with force to take it from us?"
"Then we'll fight for our freedom to survive. But let's focus on living while we can, here and now."
Brent hoped they had the time. He hoped they had the opportunity. He didn't know the future, but knew he wanted to be with this woman and share her vision of it. Brent smiled and said,
"How can I help?"
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, my survivor friends. Excuse my voice, I got a little bit of a thing going on. As a matter of fact, why don't we open the bunker doors? Open the windows, let some fresh air in, because the isotropic decay is only a problem for those who have not yet mutated, and the place smells like mushrooms. And that, right there, my friends, is an example of my brain just making things up. Making up words and stringing them together in a plausible sequence. Anywho, we are here at the end of Season 4, Episode 20, and it is a groundbreaking episode for several reasons. First, it was delayed by a week as I tried to wrap my head around how to make it work. how to find the exit, how to find the time to execute. And second, this is not the last episode of Season 4. When I finally managed to pound out a draft, I realized that I was trying to do too much. I got to 5,000 words and had a decision to make. And for your reference, my rule of thumb for our chapters or episodes here is 2,500 to 3,000 words. So that would be 5,000 is about twice as much as it should be. So my decision point was A, keep writing and just publish a giant honking episode 20. Or B, grab a rusty machete and try to trim it back down to the size it should be. Or C, split it into two episodes. And the decision was made to, and I'm happy with it, to make an episode 21 for this season, which for you clinically ADHD people may pose a conundrum. But for those, you can just call it 20A and 20B if you want, and that should sort your brain out. For the majority of you who are time travelers binging through this in the future, you can just keep on walking. Nothing to see here. And like I said last episode, I really, really, really like to be predictable with the publishing schedule, partly because I think setting expectations and boundaries are important in any relationship, and partly because it forces me to keep up. And I listen to other audio drama podcasts like mine, and I have noticed a couple of frustrating behaviors with other producers. And they're frustrating for me, may not matter to you, but the first one is pod fading. Yes, for some inexplicable reason, they just stop producing episodes. You form a relationship with the characters, you're caught up in the story, and then it just stops. I hate that. That's why, from the start, I committed to 5 seasons of at least 20 episodes, love it or hate it. I'm going to give you a beginning, a middle, and an end. The second thing I notice that I get frustrated by is big delays between episodes. So this is usually I'm binge listening to an audio drama and I'm not impacted by these big delays in production and publishing. But I know there are times when you get really caught up in the story and the creator has a bad case of podcastus interruptus, making you wait. A little waiting can add to the suspense, but too much of a gap and you lose the thread, you lose your audience. And then finally, number 3 of frustrating things that audio dramas do is the ginormous final episode of the season. And this is when the creator paints themselves into a corner with too many characters and storylines, and it takes a big bloated last episode to kinda sorta tie up the loose ends, which is where I found myself last week. Again, love it or hate it, I think episode length is part of the contract with the audience. You need to be consistent. And if I'm all over the place, your experience suffers. All of this to explain why you're getting an episode 20 this week and an episode 21 next. And that will be the end of season 4. And the lesson for me, because there is always a lesson if you look hard enough, is that it is okay to make changes, right? To learn and to grow and to learn stuff. It's okay not to know everything. It's okay to be curious. It's okay to try and fail. And then try something else. That's how we grow. That's where the good stuff is. Phew. If you like our work and you want to add more guilt to the chance of me missing an episode drop, you can support me monetarily through Patreon. You can subscribe on Acast. Or you can buy me a coffee. Or leave a chest full of pirate treasure on my back steps. We are at 470 members in our Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, come over and join. And I do have a movie recommendation for you this week. It is The Station Agent from 2003 by Tom McCarthy in his directorial debut and starring Peter Dinklage. I'm a big fan of Peter Dinklage. I think he's a great actor. And this is streaming for free on one of the 9 trillion streaming services that crowd my TV home screen like overcaffeinated gremlins. This is a sweet, quirky little film about humans and trains and the dynamic tension between our desire for solitude and our need for community. Dinklage just does an amazing job here. It's very understated. This was before he hit it big in Game of Thrones. He's a marvelous actor. All the acting is great. I wouldn't say it's overtly a comedy, but there were some laugh-out-loud moments for me. And the lesson, because, repeat after me, there's always a lesson, is that in our modern world of being assaulted by noise and commotion and special effects explosions, it is quite refreshing to watch a sweet little film about humans and trains. The links to everything I have talked about here are in the show notes and posted on our website at oldmanapocalypse.com. Keep your train schedules updated, and I will see you out there. Or at least, I'll see you next episode, number 21. Keep surviving. 877 words.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.